Good afternoon and welcome to this session of Modern Device Management. My name is Andras. I've been working with Microsoft now for 13 years, from the year 2000. I have worked in Australia, New Zealand, in Austria, that's where I learned my German, in Wien. Ich habe auch an der Technischen Universität dort studiert. I now work in Switzerland, in the region for Western Europe, for 4.5 years. And I work for a very interesting part of Microsoft known as incubation. Incubation is a parallel organization to our sales, marketing, and services group, SMSG. But it is a little bit more cooler. So we don't have any bureaucratic processes. We are more flexible. We can travel whenever we like, etc. No, I'm just joking. But the fact of the matter is that it is our responsibility to bring new products, like a startup business, to make them reach a certain maturity level, and then we graduate the product into mainstream. Some of the examples from incubation projects in the past was Link. Link was first an incubation product. Office 365 was an incubation product. Azure is still an incubation product. Parallel Data Warehouse, PDW, for the big high-performance computing as well. Then Windows Intune, Bing Maps, not very popular in this part of the world. So products like this. And I have been with Intune now. I'm responsible for 6 countries. So for Austria, Switzerland, Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Portugal. Today, I would like to talk to you about 3 or 4 things, really. I don't want to bore you. I want to give you value for your time. I want to first tell you why we are doing Windows Intune. Secondly, what is our strategy around it? For some reason, they asked me to have a level 100 presentation, high-level overview, but I would like to go deeper because I think if we only talk about marketing bullshit, you will probably leave the room. So with your permission, I would like to go a little bit more deeper. I want to start with a question. So I have 96 slides. So I can either go through all these slides really quickly, or I show you 3 slides and we do only demos. What would you prefer? Slides? No? Demos? Anybody for demos? Great. So we do demos. So let's begin by building a small story. I think until around 5 or maybe 7 years ago, a user would come to the office and IT would give them a device to work with, also known as a corporate device, a Firmengerät, and that's it. The end user had to work with that. It was not possible to choose a lighter machine or anything else. You had a device and that's it. What we've now seen, and we're not going to talk about cloud computing or these hype words, but we're seeing a little bit different in the working style. Nowadays, most importantly, people don't want to work only inside the firewall. Huh? They also want to work outside the firewall. So this could be the Außendienstmitarbeiter, the external folks. It could be vendors or contractors because of new expanding businesses you need to engage, B2B scenarios. It could also be in some companies like the home office type of culture. Huh? Main thing is they want to work outside the firewall. So this is one of the challenge. And then the second challenge, which we are very happy about actually, is the fact that there are many new form factors. Now, not many people want to work with the boring Windows devices, which are 5 kilograms. They want a smaller one, a thinner one, a bigger one maybe, even more bigger one. So a lot of variety is there. And the good news is that there is not only Windows devices, there's a lot of Android, there's a lot of iOS, Unix, some new Google Chromebooks coming out. So there's a lot of new devices, and there will continue to be new devices coming. The reason it's good is because it forces Microsoft to also bring out better devices, which is nice. It forces the OEMs to bring out better devices, which is also nice. The challenge is, when you have these devices, And if you, as an end user, use this device, you will use it primarily to access applications. And when you are accessing applications, all of a sudden, IT is confronted not with just device management, but with application lifecycle management in parallel to more than one OS. So you could have a CRM app, for example, which is for the Windows. You could have, or you would need, the same CRM app for iOS, and in a worst case, the same CRM app also for a third operating system like Android, because otherwise they cannot access those apps on those devices. And without accessing those apps, there's no value. So first level challenge, the device. Second level challenge, the apps. But the third one, which is even more of a challenge, is what do I do with all the data? Because every time you click on an app, either it creates new data, or data is being processed, resulting in some workflows or whatever, or data needs to be archived. Yeah? So these are the different layers of the challenges we see. And what Microsoft decided to do is we made a strong decision. We don't focus on the device. We will focus on the end user. And this, in our world, we call people-centric IT. Sometimes it's referred to as PCIT. So with people-centric IT, we want to create a logical isolation around each user. Then second layer is the device, third layer is the apps, and then the data. So we would like to make it simple for you to manage. I speak to around 10 to 12 customers every week, and all customers have a similar challenge. Most customers have a silo solution for their on-premise devices, their PCs. Could be System Center, could be BMC, could be Altiris, Landesk, und so weiter. But then they have another silo solution for their mobile devices. Could be BlackBerry Enterprise Server, could be Mobile Iron, Good Technology, AirWatch, Soti, the list goes on, there are many. And then some customers have a third silo solution around non-domain joined PCs. These PCs could be mostly Windows or Macs. Some of them could also be other operating systems, but they're non-domain joined. Yeah? And then there's another silo solution around antivirus and anti-malware. And our intent with PCIT is to give you a unique set of management capabilities which you can manage all the devices which are domain joined, which are non-domain joined, could be Windows embedded, could be Windows to Go sticks, your Macs, Unix environments, Android, iOS, for the few freaks, some Windows RT, even those we can manage, stuff like that. The only thing we do not manage as of today is BlackBerry. I'm being very open and honest with you. The reason is we don't know what is going to happen with them. Yeah? I was hoping that Microsoft would buy them. It would be interesting from a patent point of view. They have some very interesting patents, in my opinion. Would match with the Nokia acquisition as well, because Symbian is dead anyways. But they didn't. I was hoping Google would not buy them. They didn't as well. So we don't know what's going to happen with them now. And from a business case justification point of view, we're not putting any development resources to focus on BlackBerry, because we don't know what's going to happen. What I guarantee you is if BlackBerry is around to stay, then we will support them. But as of today, we don't. So I'm going to go through all this marketing stuff. And now I want to just show you this one last slide. So if you think about a unified device management solution, which could manage your domain joined, non-domain joined, etc., what are the advantages you have? On one hand, we have enhanced functionalities through Active Directory, Windows Server 2012 R2. I think you might have heard of Workplace Join. Did they talk about it today? Yes. So I'm not going to repeat that. Basically, you can create a device record in your AD for, let's say, an iPad. Yeah? It's not a domain join. It's just a workplace join. Then you can have policies running on those devices with Windows Intune and System Center, so you can manage those devices based on the compliances you need. You can sideload apps, you can push apps. But what you can also do is you can manage what we call work folders. You're familiar with work folders, basically this kind of a logical container where you connect to a file server and you can access file share content, and you can sync them between devices. So if I'm outside with, let's say, an iOS iPad or a Windows Slate, I can connect to my file shares. If I work on the content, it can synchronize automatically in the back end, as well as in all other devices which I have installed. Yeah? It's quite powerful scenarios there. Then what we can also allow is web app proxy. It's a new role which has also come in Windows Server 2012 R2, where you can do the authorization directly from there for your web apps, for example. We support a variety of application delivery mechanisms. So for example, using a unified management set, you can deploy MSIs, you can do application streaming with virtualization via MDOP through System Center. You can even deploy remote apps or expose a remote desktop services gateway with our new RDS clients for iOS and Android. Yeah? Or you can have full iOS apps, Android apps deployed directly in iOS app format and Android app format, plus the Windows format on those devices. So really, what we're talking about is the ability to have one single admin console to manage everything. Windows PCs, Windows to go, Windows embedded, Mac OS, what's missing here for some reason is the Unix environments, Windows RT, Phone 8, iOS, and Android. That's it from a marketing point of view. Any questions? I was presenting in an event in the APFL in Lausanne recently, where they had a lot of MDM vendors there, respected names and companies, Mobile Iron, Good Technology, AirWatch, Citrix. They also had Post, Swiss Post, talking about their approach. Who am I missing? VMware surprised me very much. They were there as well. And I was the second last speaker. And I had to laugh. Everyone was talking exactly the same message. Same marketing terms, same features, you know, select wipe and application tunneling and certificate and VPN profiles. So when I got there, I felt bad for the people. I said, guys, I'm not going to show you my slides because you will fall asleep. You'll hear the same thing again. And I shared a key message with them, which I would like to share with you. My philosophy is that mobility is a very fast-growing area. Everyone wants to get into it from an MDM point of view. The funny thing is that in maximum 18 months, yeah, 18 months, I predict, everyone will offer the same thing from a feature level. Today, some are ahead, some are beyond. Some have a unique value proposition like we, because we can do PCs and everything else, not just the mobile devices. But I believe in 18 months, it'll be pretty much the same. So that means then, for a customer or a partner, you have to see what you have in place today. What is your infrastructure in place? To be honest with you, for any customer or partner who has System Center deployed, it makes perfect sense to evaluate Windows Intune. Because with a very little effort, without any additional know-how, you can take care of your mobile devices. I'm assuming that all of you have either invested in System Center, either by licensing, or you've deployed it. Some of you might not have deployed it, or you're interested in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Is that a fair comment? So what I'd like to show you now is the demo. I have here a System Center Config Manager console. And I would like to challenge you in showing you how simple it is to manage your mobile devices. I would really appreciate it if you ask me questions, or if you don't like something you're seeing, I'm very open to positive feedback or negative criticism or anything. Please just, in any language, I speak 7 languages. So I don't speak French, unfortunately, but I can speak Italian, German, Swiss German. I don't speak, I understand, plus a few Asian languages. So, let's go through this console. So what you're seeing here is System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager. Yeah? And over here, if you go to the Administration tab, you will see there's something known as Cloud Services, and there's something known as Windows Intune Subscriptions. Now, there is one thing important to understand. From an architectural point of view, this is beyond level 100, by the way, You can either deploy Windows into your cloud only, completely separate from your on-premise infrastructure, so you don't touch your local environment. Or, at least in Switzerland, I've noticed, people prefer to keep the data on-premise, not in the cloud, in my experience. So I'm dealing with education customers, I'm dealing with pharmaceutical customers, FSI, financial customers. Everyone tells the same thing. We don't want a cloud solution. So is it okay with you if I talk only about the on-premise? Because in 1 hour, it's very difficult to show you both. Is it okay? If anybody has a question about the cloud-only deployment, please come to me afterwards. I would love to help you with that. But I think for the purpose of the audience, I will focus on the on-premise deployment, which is via System Center. So basically, what you're seeing here with these Windows Intune subscriptions is nothing else but the connector between your local Active Directory on-premise and the Windows Azure Active Directory, which is, in essence, the back end of Intune. So if I go over here, if I double-click that, I get these properties. I enable Android. I enable iOS. However, for iOS, there's a requirement. You have to upload the Apple Push Notifications certificate. So we don't install an agent on the device. So we talk to the device using the standardized IMDM, the standardized MDM protocols available. In the case of iOS, it's IMDM protocol, which uses Apple Push Notification services. Now, the first step for that is you need to have an APN certificate request. Apple Push Notification Certificate Request. I find it very interesting that from a Microsoft tool, you can create directly your APN certificate request. It just shows you that we as Microsoft are changing and are more open to other platforms now. So I wanted to point that out to you. When you create that request, you will then receive an ID. You have to create it with an Apple ID, by the way, from a company, not a private ID. You then upload that request you received to the Push Certificate portal, and you immediately get the certificate, which you can use then for 1 year. It's valid for 1 year. It's kostet auch nichts. It's free. Yeah? You upload that here. That's it. Nothing else you have to do for iOS. Huh? That's all. Similarly, for Windows Phone and for Windows RT and 8.1, you have to upload. Let me go step by step. For Windows 8.1, for non-domain joined devices and Windows RT, there is a requirement for what we call sideloading keys. It's a big mystery, the sideloading keys. No documentation to be found anywhere. It's horrible. Microsoft is very bad in documentation in some aspects, so you can hammer us with that. I agree. Yeah? But I can tell you that these sideloading keys are available if you are a customer with the enterprise agreement. You have it already included with the desktops which you've licensed with Software Assurance. It's a Software Assurance benefit. If you are a customer who does not have an enterprise agreement, you can purchase these sideloading keys in packs of 100. So far, all the customers I've dealt with have the sideloading keys. Most people are not aware of it, that's all. Because we don't talk about it. For Windows Phone 8, there is the need of the enterprise code signing certificate. For the time being, we are working with Symantec for that. So this was acquired directly from Symantec. Yeah? Now, the next step which you have to do is you have to go to your site configuration. And here you will see, if you look at your servers and site system roles, you have your on-premise System Center distribution point, which is your primary site. You must add the Windows Intune connector site role to this. That's all you need to do. And then you will get a manage.microsoft.com cloud distribution point. And this cloud distribution point is basically used for pushing out policies to the mobile devices, pushing out apps to the mobile devices, pulling in inventory information. That's it. Nothing else. Whatever apps you will deploy using this console are all on-premise. Nothing is stored in the cloud. Yeah? No credentials are stored in the cloud. Everything is stored on-premise within the premises of your own local AD. If you use ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services, you take over the authentication role for Windows Intune with that so that the end user has a single sign-on experience. Everything is on-premise. Yeah? That's all you need to do, literally. And once you've done this, the next step is to set up your compliancy rules. So, what are the policies that you would like to set up for your mobile devices? Yeah? And the way we do this is using configuration items. And as you can see, this is a typical System Center know-how. It's not an Intune know-how, right? Because you're used to working with configuration items in System Center. So you create a configuration item, and you choose it, whatever you want to write, and you choose it for mobile device. So this is what is new. Earlier, you would have it for Windows or Macs. Now you have mobile devices in that. And with mobile devices, I mean 8.1, RT, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone 8. So if I choose mobile device and I go next, I have certain categories over here which I can choose. And these are what it looks like from a configuration setting point of view. You can choose your typical password settings. What is the enforcement of password? How long is it? What type? Strong, PIN, complex characters? How many days it is valid for? You know, password history. That means you're not allowed to reuse the last password. In the case of Microsoft, it's 5. We're not allowed to use our last 5 passwords. How many times should someone log into the device with the wrong information so it gets wiped automatically for security purposes? These kind of things. And then you will see here below, firstly, you have the ability, in case you have Exchange infrastructure, to send a password recovery PIN to Exchange, so you can make sure in password reset scenarios it happens quickly, also per workflow. But you can also set these severity levels. And once again, this is a System Center functionality. Based on severity levels, if your devices are not compliant and an alert is issued, then you can also have auto-remediation actions if you have service manager, orchestrator, or operation manager in place. Yeah? That's the purpose of this. Now, if I go to the device itself, I have the ability to enable or disable various features over here, video chatting, gaming, personal wallet software. If I don't want anything to leave the device and go into any cloud, I disable diagnostic data submission, for example. Then, for example, I can configure my email management settings. What type of mails formats do I have? How much should be automatically downloaded? Do I want to enable calendar synchronization for everybody or not, because it takes up bandwidth when you're roaming, for example? All that kind of stuff. Yeah. What is interesting to note over here is that next month we will be releasing an additional feature, which is not yet here, which is the ability to push Exchange profiles onto the devices. Yeah? So if you provision a new device, whether it's a Slate or an iPad, automatically the Exchange settings will be there with the server name, etc. So the end user doesn't have to do that. Yeah? Then after that, you also have the ability to block the application store. This is currently not possible in Windows Phone 8. Windows Phone 8 is a very interesting story. It's currently the most secure operating system in the market because it doesn't allow you to do anything. So when a customer asks me if we have jailbreak detection for Windows Phone 8, I have to smile sometimes, because technically it's not possible to jailbreak a Windows Phone 8 device with our secure boot functionality. So, jokes apart, as of today, this is my honest feedback for you, we don't manage Windows Phone 8 very well because the operating system does not allow us certain functionalities. For example, certificates, VPN profiles, store blocking. The good news is it's coming. And it's coming with what we call the Enterprise Feature Pack. Yeah? And it's supposed to come out in spring. So if any of you question, anybody having BlackBerries here? Love it, few people. Do you plan to stay on BlackBerry, or you do? Okay, sorry. Because when I ask that question in Austria, almost half the audience lifts their hands, and if I ask, is anyone planning to migrate or evaluating other platforms, they all keep their hands up. Yeah. And then in Austria, because they don't like to spend much money, they don't go to iOS, they're interested in Windows Phone 8 or Android. So my honest feedback to you would be, if you were to evaluate Windows Phone 8, please don't do it now. Wait for the Enterprise Feature Pack. And the reason I'm saying that is because we're not sure if we'll be able to upgrade the hardware. So if you make an investment on Windows Phone 8 now, I can't guarantee you that the investment will stay with Windows 8.1. What I'm hearing from people is that it might not be upgradable. So that was my only message for Windows Phone 8, to wait to evaluate. But when it does come out, the good news is that we will be able to manage everything. Even stuff like blocking the store, we will be able to do there, because today we can do this for iOS. We cannot do this for Windows Phone 8. You can prohibit people from purchasing apps. So I have an education customer in Switzerland, and they're giving iPads to the kids to in the schools, but it's a corporate grade, corporate asset. It's not a private device. And the problem is, what happens if the kids go and buy applications with their parents' credit card on the device? You know, when they have to give back the device, how do you manage that? So they were looking for a possibility to block any apps to be purchased. You define a set of apps which you will have installed as mandatory in this case, and no more apps can be installed. So that's possible, just as an example. Then we have some browser settings. You can set the browser, active scripting allowed or not, pop-up blocker, cookies, fraud warning, etc. For Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8.1, we have Internet Explorer settings for the security levels for all the zones. You can put in single words also for intranet mapping, like if I have to type in MSW in my Windows Phone, which I don't have, which I will get one soon, then it will take me to Microsoft Web, for example. Yeah. Then, this is, in my opinion, the most ridiculous thing inside there, but some Americans like it. I don't have a single customer in my territory who cares about this, but basically it would be possible to enable rating of content of TV shows from the iTunes store and all this kind of stuff. Yeah? This is very important for most of my customers, the cloud settings. So basically you can block the whole device from the cloud to communicate with the cloud. So for example, no kind of cloud backups. Take the example of Dropbox. Any kind of a cloud application which pulls data out from a device in the cloud, you can disable. Yeah? Then you can also disable document synchronization, photo synchronization, any kind of settings to be backed up, any kind of credentials to be backed up, all these things you can lock down. From a security point of view, uninstalled file installations and unsigned applications is not so much of a problem, I would say, for iOS, except if you're sideloading your own apps. But for Android devices, it's a big issue. 38% of all the apps in the Google Play Store are not signed. And most of them have malware. So, for example, I have a customer in Austria who's a Lebensmittelgeschäft, like a Spar kind of a customer. And they buy an antivirus, anti-malware system for Android devices because they have a problem with that. By just disenabling the setting that you do not allow any unsigned application to be installed, you take care of it. You don't need that anymore. Yeah. Camera and Bluetooth, you can also configure to enable or not. Then they have, again, one of the funny things, a Windows RT VPN profile. I would not recommend you to do this because it would make more sense to configure your VPN profiles somewhere else. I will show you that. So please ignore this. Yeah, this is internal marketing for RT, but sometimes it works and many times it doesn't. So my honest feedback is just leave that alone. Peak synchronization is all about deciding what are my high peak times where I don't want an update to be installed, for example, because it spoils the end user experience. So, Then you can decide what happens with peak synchronized frequency, how often should the device talk with the Intune service during high peak time and during off peak time. This is a very interesting area with roaming because this itself is a very good business case for many customers to purchase such a solution. Because with roaming, for example, Think about a situation, you're living on the border, let's say in Geneva or someplace, and you have a lot of people living in France. They use Facebook, LinkedIn, these kind of applications on the mobile devices, and that gives you very high roaming bills. So you could use these settings to optimize your roaming costs, basically. Yeah. Once again, not for Windows Phone 8, but it will come with the Enterprise Feature Pack. Yeah? I'm just being honest with you. Then we have encryption, where you can decide storage card encryption will never be a topic for iOS. For Android, yes. For Windows Phone 8, yes. Windows Phone 8 does not support it as of now. It will come in the Enterprise Feature Pack, once again. Yeah? You can decide what you want to do with mail signing. You can choose your own algorithms. Even from email encryption, you can say you don't want to use DES, but you want to use triple DES, and it'll automatically take over that protocol. Then we have some basic stuff, which is very relevant, wireless communication. You can choose and configure all your wireless profiles. You can take your SSIDs, what type of a connection it is, internet or work, what type of authentication, data encryption enabled. You can enable your 8.2.1x settings. You can give your proxy server settings, all of that. It's also very practical for hidden networks. There is a very famous research institute around 16 kilometers from Geneva where they have big manuals just for wireless configuration. And they were very interested in testing this because they would really optimize IT operations from a back-end point of view. Think about when you want to disclose hidden networks to secure groups only, stuff like that. So you can do all of that with this. Similarly, you can take your certificates. You can use your own PKI if you have your own public key infrastructure. You can deploy user certificates, device certificates, onto the devices directly. All of this is happening over the air, by the way, without the end user needing to do anything. Now, from a system security point of view, you can configure untrusted TLS certificates, firewall settings, updates. You can say if a device is not up to date, he's not going to access, for example, mail, he would be quarantined. You can talk about virus protection, enforcing that, also enforcing that the virus signatures are always up to date. If not, that they will be pushed immediately. If not, they are quarantined. All this kind of stuff you can configure here. And then we have this Windows Server work folder settings. Did they talk about work folders before in the Active Directory, the Windows Server session? They did, huh? So basically, I was in another customer just before coming here, and they said, how do you integrate the work folders with Intune, and what's the strategy? So once again, this workplace join and work folders only gives you access to something. All the policy management of that is done via Intune and System Center. And the work folders is integrated into the self-service portal, which I will show you in a second, as to what that looks like, where you can then pull down the content that you want to synchronize. Yeah? And if you fill in here your work folders URL, then the end user doesn't need to put all this in their devices, because very often they don't really know what these URLs are. Now, one of the reasons why I like Intune, oh, by the way, I can't help the fact it's called Intune. It's a very stupid name. Sometimes people get confused. It's nothing to do with Apple. It was not a technology bought from Apple. We really designed this from scratch. Why they call it Intune, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that they chose a very different approach with Intune. I'll give you an interesting analogy. I find it very difficult to find any users who use more than 25% of the features with Word, for example. Hundreds of features, yeah, maximum you'll use 25%. You still end up paying for the rest of the 75% with what in Microsoft it's called software assurance. In the MDM world, it's the same thing. I don't have a single customer who uses more than 25% of the features of the so-called really mature solutions like Good or Mobile Iron or AirWatch or SOTI and so on. Yeah? So what Microsoft decided, firstly, we don't charge any software assurance or maintenance charges here for Intune. The fixed costs, a monthly subscription. It's user-based, by the way. It's not device-based. So you can add 5 devices to 1 seat. which is very practical, and that's what makes it almost free. The second thing is, we want to bring out the features which you will really use, and not just features which are nice to have. So, how do we know what are the features that you will really use? We have the possibility over here for anybody to make their own setting. So you can basically create your own setting. How does that work? You see, the laptops and PCs have registry keys, right? In the mobile world, there is something similar. It's called User Resource Identifiers, URIs. And there are public lists of available URIs from the Open Mobile Alliance, the OMA, where you can then take those URIs and create your own setting. And what we from Microsoft do, we gather feedback from our customers, what are the new URIs they're making, have a consolidated list, bring that out as a feature the next time. That is our approach, because we know we bring stuff which you will then use. One example, which is going to happen very soon. So Microsoft says that they can do Select Wipe. Select Wipe is the ability when you have a personal device where only the business part is deleted and all the private stuff is not deleted. That is called Select Wipe. Problem is, Select Wipe also includes Exchange, Mail, Calendar, and Contacts, right? Because you could have more than one mail on that device. Let's say a Gmail or a Live account or a Yahoo, whatever. Until today, it was not possible for us as a feature to delete the Exchange part from the device. We would only delete all the apps which we install, certificates, VPN profile, etc. But then that's not a Select Wipe. Because Select Wipe, either you take everything or nothing, right? To be fair. But Microsoft would call it Select Wipe. So a lot of people were creating the URI over here for deleting the Exchange mailbox. And now in December, it's coming out as a feature, just next month. So just an example to show you this is how we are developing in the back end. Windows Intune is part of the rapid development program, so we don't follow the traditional life cycles of code development. Normally, it's 18 months for a minor release or R2, and it's 3 years for a major release. With Windows Intune, it used to be 6 monthly release, what they used to call waves. And now, they don't even call it waves anymore, because every month we'll be bringing out new features. So for example, if you create your own setting here, you can say you choose a data type of version and you write a string that you prohibit a particular application from being installed. It's possible to do that, like this. You need to know the technicalities of the programming, the syntax, blah, blah. So it's not so simple. So remember I said I will challenge you, it's very easy, this solution. Just ignore this part, because this part is not simple. But the rest is quite simple. I'm cheating a little bit. Okay, so this was basically your configuration items. You then create a baseline as you are used to doing and deploy it to either a user collection or a device collection. Any questions with that? It's quite a straightforward process. Does anybody here know System Center, by the way? Because I think it's dangerous for me to assume that everyone is familiar with System Center. I do apologize, I should never assume that. But I was thinking, because you're here, either you have it, or you want to have it, or you have it but don't use it. I have customers like that, really. Okay, so then I think more or less everyone knows it. Now, you remember I told you not to configure the RT VPN profile there. It's because it's not the right place to do it, in my opinion. It would be better to do it over here. So here, under Company Resource Access, this is also new in the 2012 R2, you have the ability to provision profiles for certificates for VPN and wireless networks. So if I go here and I say VPN profile, I can create a new VPN profile, call it whatever. Either I can import an existing one because you've done one before, or I create a new one. Now, we've already finished working with a few vendors, popular vendors, if I may call it that way, the big five. So for example, if you have a Cisco VPN solution installed in your infrastructure, or a Juniper, F5 Edge Client, Dell Sonic, Checkpoint, then we have the ability to integrate directly and to talk directly with those servers using this possibility here. You don't have to do any extra configuration. If you do not have one of these, it is still possible to do it using level 2 tunnel protocol, so L2TP or PP2P. You could even use SSL if you like. Yeah? So you choose whatever you want, add the server there, and then you choose your authentication method, give the proxy settings if you wish to use proxy. Then there is an interesting thing called automatic VPN. Have you heard of this? VPN on demand. This is a very interesting concept. Think of it like this, that you have a device where you click an application, no matter where you are, and it automatically initiates a VPN connection in the background and talks to your environment without the end user doing anything. So as of today, it is supported only on Windows 8.1. In the very near future, it will be supported on iOS as well as Windows Phone 8. This will be possible to do with Windows Phone 8. It's one of the enhanced security features. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but I'm just saying this. It's going to come with Windows Phone 8. So similarly with certificates, how am I doing with time? Okay. You could also create your certificate profiles over here. You can utilize your existing PKI, or you take third-party certificates. It's up to you. Our philosophy is we would like to offer you an integrated management structure where you can reuse most of your existing infrastructure. This is our philosophy. We would like to take down your costs from a total cost of ownership perspective as much as possible. So I could do the same thing over here. Either I take a trusted CA certificate or I put in my SCEP settings just with using the wizard. And then the same thing I can do with my Wi-Fi profiles. I can create an overall Wi-Fi profile, call it whatever, put in my network name, my SSIDs, configure my security parameters for that, method of authentication, etc., given my proxy server settings as I showed you before, decide on what platform, so I can create a profile just for iOS, for example, I can create one for Android. With the enterprise feature pack, I can create one for Windows Phone 8 as well. Yeah. Then, there is the whole notion of application deployment. If we talk about the operations, the Betrieb, you have to do application deployment, update management, you would like to have reports to know what is the status. So we have a very, very enhanced reporting engine and reporting structure in System Center 2012 R2, which we take full advantage of. So there are more than 500 reports that you can have based on whatever you want, on what makes sense. Plus, we give you built-in queries which you can use. Let's say you want to know which devices are jailbroken or root detected. Most customers ask this because Gartner recommends it, because it's on their RFP requirement list. Yeah. So you can do that here. You just enter the parameters, the name of the collection, and it gives you this. You can take that into a subscription because it is using SQL reporting services in the back end, and you get an email sent automatically to you with the report based on the parameters that you like. Yeah. These are the report categories we have. So let's say, for example, I go look at device management, just as an example. There's so many different detailed reports you can have just for this single category. I would tend to argue that we have one of the best inventory and reporting functionalities compared to other MDM solutions. And if anyone wants to challenge me on that, very happy to take on that offline afterwards. But we're really good at this. We're really very good at this. Why? Because we take full advantage of our integration with System Center. Having said that, if you deploy Intune alone in the cloud, then it's a different story. Then you don't have so many different parameters you can set and queries I think there you have only 36, the most primitive ones, not the granular ones here. Other advantages is, for example, role-based delegation for administration. So if you have an environment where you want to have an administrator to look only at a particular device collection and nothing else, also you can do geo-based fencing in a particular geographical area and nowhere else. Let's say you want someone only for Wallis, only for iOS devices, no problem. Can be done. So we have some good stories there around administration as well. When it comes to the patch management and update management, we take the full advantage of System Center again over here. You can schedule exactly what time, how it happens, what is the consequence if it doesn't happen. You can choose to have applications deployed as a required application or as an install, available install, which we recommend to do in BYOD because it's not your device, it belongs to someone else. They should choose. Yeah. So let me show you, for example, what the experience would look like on three different devices. Let me start with the iOS device with an iPad. I prepared some screenshots here. So for example, it is a native app which is installed, just like good technology. You have a native app you can find in the store, have it installed. Then you, when you click on it, it opens up. On one hand, you see your featured apps which you have over there. You can create categories of apps for your end user, so one for sales, one for HR, and so on. You can also have more than one device registered. As I said, we offer you the possibility to have up to 5 devices per user account. So this is very interesting for educational customers, for example, because it makes it a very cost-compelling solution. You can provide IT support information over there as well, whom they should call or contact if they have any questions. Now, these are the details when you see a device over there. And I apologize, it's an iPad, but in this case, we're showing an iPad experience, so iPad. You can either reset the device as a factory full wipe, factory reset. You can do this also from a web portal. Let's say, because I travel a lot, I left my phone or my iPad in the lounge, and it has important information, sensitive information. I can delete it immediately from any kiosk. I type in my credentials and reset the device. Fertig. Yeah. I can rename the device if I don't like the name of the generic name for my own purpose. It's only for the end user. Nothing else. Has no other impact. Or I can remove the device. Now, removing a device is a select wipe. If I remove the device, in this case, it will remove the company, the self-service portal, with all the apps installed there. It will remove the certificates which were installed, the VPN profile. It will remove inventory information which may have been generated before. And from the next month onwards, automatically my exchange mailbox as well. So the customer, the user has no access to the email, for example. And the calendar and the contacts, of course. What it will leave behind is the apps you installed yourself. It will leave your own email accounts, Yahoo, Gmail, Live, whatever, Outlook, I think they call it now, all that stuff. Now, let's talk about apps itself. So here's an app list over there. You can browse by a category. This is an app which is deep linked, which means I think that my end users need this app because it's practical for them. I can advertise it so they can deep link and install it. This is another app which is expensive, yeah? So let's say AutoCAD or some expensive license app where you want to have a workflow for additional approval, yeah? You can have that as well. Once it is approved, it will be installed. This is an app which you prohibit because it would take data out into the cloud. So you can blacklist this app and say, no, not be allowed to install. So the end user will try, but it will be denied. Then you have an in-house app. Being from Microsoft, we promote dynamic CRM. So here we go. CRM, you can install, click on it. It will give you the same experience like iOS, and it'll come out there as a logo. You click on that, and you're inside. Yeah. So what does this look like, for example? Let me just see what is happening here. I will go here. On my own device. So Microsoft has deployed, I think, 120,000 Intune seats within Microsoft. So this is the self-service portal for us within Microsoft. As a Microsoft employee, it knows what my job is. So accordingly, it will show me apps which make sense for my job because it's user-based targeting for apps, right? So I can go here, either I have the featured apps or I have, I don't know why they sent me this one, but I have browse by category. I can say because I'm in sales, I go to sales and support, and these are all the apps I have there. You know, this is an internal CRM app which talks to me about all you people, some good stuff, obviously, but I would never find this app normally because, you know, in a Microsoft environment, we have hundreds of apps and normally we would go to some file share to install, never finding them. Now it's sent to me. Yeah, this is as an available install. It's not all installed, thank God. It's an available install. Yeah, some apps have been done as mandatory. Some apps are as available install. Yeah, so this is what that would look like. Any questions with this? Does this make sense to you, having this kind of an integrated, unified approach with System Center? Just an open question. Do you feel it has any value? Yeah. Okay. So we have around 10 minutes left. I can either show you more stuff, or we can, if you want to talk about some questions which are on your mind, wir können das gerne auf Deutsch machen. Also, I'm very curious because I was asked to speak in English. Is there anyone here who doesn't speak German? Okay, I respect that. No problem. No problem at all. Good. Is there any feature? First of all, let me ask you another question. Is mobility a topic for you? Is MDM really something which you're confronted with at the moment now? Yeah, okay. In my experience, I always meet customers in three categories. One category is a customer who has an MDM solution, but one of the expensive ones because that time there was no choice. Frankly speaking, that's the reason. There's no other reason. Then there's another category of customers who used to have a pseudo MDM manual Excel-based solution where they would list all the devices and what they have installed there or some inventory information, and then they see it's not practical anymore and they are evaluating a solution. And then the third category would be people who have no solution and who don't want a solution because they don't need a solution. They spring and rock. Also, in education, for example, many people say that. Schools, universities, etc. So for those people of you who are either evaluating a solution or who have a solution, but for some reason you're here, you want to see what we have to offer, is there anything you've not seen or not heard? Yeah, now I'm talking about feature, huh? That you would like to ask about? Anything you don't like, for example? I'm very curious, I'm very open-minded for that. So, for example, yesterday there was a gentleman, because I did present yesterday as well, who asked me a question, is it possible to configure an app to only open in this type of printer and not that type of printer, something like that? And the answer is no, we don't do that. We can't do that. It's not one of those must-have features from our perspective, you know, where customers want it. I would love to know if there's any must-have feature from your perspective, which we haven't spoken about.
I would have a question regarding Lotus Notes.
Yes.
Do you support that?
Absolutely. So let me tell you what we don't support. A Microsoft answer is always two-sided, by the way. You have to be careful with that. So device registration, device management, etc., no issue. What we don't support, sir, is the select wipe of the Lotus Notes itself. The mailbox, if you know what I mean. As of today. We don't do it as of today.
Is there a plan to do it in the future?
Yes, there is.
And how long is this future from now?
The future is the future, no? No. Let me put it this way. It's not on a high priority list. I'll tell you what's on our high priority list, if you want to know that. Some of the things on our high priority list are, for example, the ability to do what we call application tunneling in the MDM world. We don't have that today, and that's on our high priority list. Another thing on our high priority list is to have feature parity between all three stacks, between Android, iOS, and Windows Phone 8. The honest reply, as of today, we manage iOS the best. Simply because from a protocol perspective, as well as the possibilities to talk to the device, is the most open and standardized. With Android, there are so many versions of Android that that was our weakest point. We could only do Android with Exchange Active Sync. So if you had Android devices with Lotus Notes, we wouldn't be able to do that at all. But Microsoft has recognized that Android is the worldwide leader in mobility, both for smartphone and tablet. So we've brought out just now our own OMADM client for Android. We programmed it for them to have a standardized direct management client. However, that's also in the first release, so there's a few feature gap in that. And the intent is within the springtime, so that's the future for me, the short-term future, next 3 months, to come up with a feature parity level for all three stacks. Then another thing we're working on for the future, short-term future, is a more enhanced blacklisting of apps. You see, blacklisting is like a cat and mouse game. You blacklist a particular app, you'll find other versions of that app coming in somehow. Take Facebook, for example, Facebook Messenger. There are 15 versions of that. Unfortunately, all of them have different IDs, hashtag backend. It's very difficult to manage that. So they're working on that to come up with a more intelligent solution. But if you would be kind enough to share some contact details with me, I would love to proactively tell you when and if it will happen, for sure. I know it's happening, but it's not on the high priority list. Anything else? Please.
I'm coming with the mic.
So I can repeat the question. The question is, with the new features, and correct me if I'm wrong, will they always deploy it in the cloud first? The answer is no. The honest answer is no, as of today. And the reason it's no is we first started by having Intune as a kind of a system center, essentials, in the cloud kind of a solution. And then very soon, a lot of customers gave us their feedback saying, look guys, mobility is a big issue for us. We've invested in your system center. Please give us some on-premise capabilities which we can implement easily with not too much additional know-how and effort because we've invested in your platform. Why the hell should we keep it otherwise? And the corp guys accepted that and made that their major priority for this release on the 18th of October. And it's the same high priority for the next 3 months. I'm only talking about 3 months, by the way. After which, they will ramp up the cloud-only capabilities as well. Because some of the stuff I had showed you earlier with the features via System Center is not available in the cloud. We don't do jailbreak detection, root detection in the cloud. We can't do it. Because we don't install an agent on the device, right? So we can only do it via System Center as of today. So in the future, we will, but the answer is not always cloud first. That's the honest answer to you. I have a question. Are there any partners here? Any partners of Microsoft? Okay, I would like to tell you, I will be in Vienna on the 21st of, well, I'm there earlier, but on the 21st of November, which is next Thursday, I will be doing a level 400 training for partners only, where it's not a sales training, where we will expose the limitations, the boundaries, all the individual steps you have to do before deploying, preparing infrastructure, blah, 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 from start to end, including app deployment, everything. If you are interested to join that training, we will be showing it via link. I'm doing it for 14 countries. There are already people from Switzerland who will be signing in via link. Let me know somehow, either by just, you know, leaving me an email address or whatever. I'll send you an invitation for that training. It will be via link. It's next Thursday at 2 o'clock local time. For the customers, if you would like to have any further information about this particular, I shouldn't say product. By the way, Intune is not a product. It's a Dienstleistung. It's a service. So I have to be very clear about this. You will get service level agreements as well if you should, for some reason, decide to go for Windows Intune. It's an important thing to say, because if you consider the value you get for what you're paying and you get service level agreements as well, it's quite an interesting proposition. Please, sir. It might not. We don't know yet. That is a gray area. The reality is, no one can tell me today whether the phone hardware can be upgraded or not. And honestly speaking, if I take time with customers or partners, I give you value for your time, I would tell you, please wait until this information is clear. What we don't want is for you to make an investment, and then, you know, we're always the bad guys. So my way of working is I'm always very honest and transparent. That's the reality. I don't know that yet. So even in Austria, there's some big customers, Federal Railway, Österreichische Bundesbahn, for example. Then First Alpine, it's a steel manufacturing plant. They all want to migrate off BlackBerry. And they're all asking me, what is with Intune and Windows Phone and when we can test? And I said, sir, please wait. I want you to make a wise decision. And my honest thing is, please wait. Give me a few more weeks. Let me get the information, and then we will get information very soon. I've been told that by the end of November, finally, we will know. The reality is we don't know yet, at least I don't. So end of November, if you want, you can leave me your details. I promise you I will let you know ASAP as soon as I have it. But there are many people who are asking that, so it's absolute justified ask. So the gentleman asks that he is a freelancer, he's working with company A and with company B, and for some reason needs to access apps from company C. Each one gives me a profile. So what happens to my phone? It's a good question. And what data, etc., and how would that work? I have a question for you. Would all three of them be managed via Intune or different solutions? One mob? No, then it's not possible. You cannot have... That's the honest reply. You cannot have more than one management profile from Intune on your device. You can have more than one management profile if they're different solutions, like, let's say, Mobile Iron, Good, etc., because they have their own agents, right? We're the only one who don't work with agents, because we don't want to give you a compromise on the device battery performance, warming, etc. Plus, it is... With agents, there's another whole discussion on security we can have, whether it's really secure or not. That's another discussion. But our strategic direction is not to have agents. So we really have a profile, which means you can have only one unique management profile on your device. Interesting question, though. No one's asked me that. I do want to make a final comment. A lot of people ask me, why are you not on the Gartner's Magic Quadrant? I don't know for the customers here if that is a valid point for you or not, but some customers ask me that question, especially in Austria. There are two reasons for that. First reason is, purely from a marketing point of view, we do not position ourselves as an MDM vendor. Because our strategy is PC and mobile management. So that's one reason. Yeah? The second reason is that we would only go to Gartner with our System Center solution integrated, the hybrid environment I was talking about, because that's the only environment which would make sense from an enhanced feature functionality point of view for you to implement as of today, right? Now, Gartner has said that they don't have any magic quadrant for unified device management because no one else does this as of today. But what they've promised us in their next release, because it's every May typically, they will mention our approach as UDM there. So if you as a customer want to have some acknowledgement from Gartner, it will be there coming next May. The interesting thing is that we've been very quiet about Intune, and I'm talking too much now. What time is it? Last comment, promise. We don't do a lot of press and all this with Intune, no. We've got a very quiet approach, yeah? But there are some very nice customer references. So if you are interested, any of you want to know who the hell uses this, let me know. I'll let you know for sure. Even in Switzerland, in at least 30 countries, I can give you references, including Switzerland, Germany, and Austria. I'd like to thank you very much for your attention. And I hope it wasn't too boring. You will find a very comprehensive slide deck, which I have given, the whole 96 slides. It's up to you if you want to see it or not, but I did that. That's why they gave me a mouse as a gift. Otherwise, if you have any questions, my email address is very simple. It's in German, An Khan. So, okay, let me close this. I will just write that down. So if anybody wants to ask me a question later on, feel free to get in touch. Is this correct? I can't zoom, I'm too stupid. Can you read it? Okay. A-N-K-H-A-N. Yeah? That didn't work. Let me try this. Okay, if he's making a picture, it has to look better than that. This is one of the 25% of features I use in Word regularly. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, your attention, and I hope you enjoyed it.